One congressman who shall remain nameless from the state of California raised his hand and said, "Well, Christy, do you think I should use email?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir, I do." And he said, "No, my constituents would hate it. My constituents would absolutely hate it." And I said, "Well, sir, what you might have to start thinking about, Congressman, is that people now are used to having fast turnaround time."
Yep.
They're used to saying, "I have a question, I'm typing this question as I think of it, and I'm getting an answer within 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
Yep.
They're not used to writing something down in a letter, mailing it, waiting the 3 weeks for it to get there, waiting 3 weeks for your legislative assistant to
drink it out of the bottom of the bag, and yeah.
And he got angry, and he said, "You're wrong. My constituents like letterhead. They like to put things in frames."
I bet one of his big campaign contributors was a stationery salesman.
I think it just showed the disconnect between people, and he was older, but, you know, my grandmothers, you know, were computer savvy. People in nursing homes email with their college grandchildren and things like that. It's not an age thing, but I think they're so used to being in this little tiny bubble and not having to communicate in any sort of real time.
Yep. That.
That plus, I think, I mean, if you have such an exalted, shall we say, sense of yourself that you think people are dying to get that piece of letterhead with your name on it,
yeah,
that's kind of a problem. But that's why I wanted to bring up, for example, the fact that Barack Obama is going to be the first president to have his inaugural speech podcast.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Great.
And that's why it's going to be so difficult for this young, hip, savvy, technically minded group of staffers to have to go cold turkey.
Oh, I feel for those kids.
Do you think you could do it? Do you think you could say, "No, I am, no email"?
I could not do no email. I could do no IMs. I could get away with that, but I could not do no email.
I don't think I could do it. I really don't think that I could do it. I don't know. Let's ask you. Could you get away with just getting rid of your IMs, getting rid of your email, getting rid of your technology? Because, you know, that's just the way it's always been done. David, thanks for calling 569-1080. Do you think you could do it?
You know, I've been using the Royal Mounted Squirrels for 20 years. They come in very well. They're very efficient, and the cost of them is peanuts. So
I was waiting for that punchline. I was waiting for it. How are you, David?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I don't know if you know it, but I'm calling from San Francisco, and I've called KUDO a couple of times since late December regarding this massive hazardous waste spill in Tennessee.
Oh, the TVA coal spill, yes.
Yeah, and what I wanted to ask, and I don't know if you have any expertise on, the methods that were used to sue Exxon, but I'm trying to figure out, obviously you have to put in a claim very early.
Right.
And with tort reform in Tennessee and Alabama, this thing is affecting probably 8 states down there. So it would be Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, and Mississippi, and then adjoining states of Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Illinois. And so the land values of people who have riverfront property, if you know that arsenic, cadmium, lead, mercury, and radioactive isotopes are going to be washing up on your little beach, and, this is the Tennessee River is 300 miles long, the lower Mississippi from the Ohio River, I don't know if it's 500 miles. There's the Tom Bigbee Waterway, which also comes into many hundreds of miles. This could be, a massive amount of just real estate loss, but it also comes at a time when real estate values are falling anyway.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there were people who had calculations and how they were able to lock in their values at an early base rate, if they were ever able to maintain their property values, through the 20 years.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. I have to say that I just am not really up on my real estate law, my legalese. I don't know exactly how people got together to have the Exxon Valdez suit. Is that something you?
Yeah, I too am not up on real estate laws and whatnot. And It occurs to me, though, that the quicker you can get the documentation together, obviously it's going to be the better for you, the more people that can band together into a class action type of a suit is obviously going to be better than, you know, individual litigants going forth and bringing multiple lawsuits forward, if that's the case that people will go towards. The courts themselves will consolidate it into a class action lawsuit. I cannot remember the organization that was first involved in the actual litigation, mm-hmm. if that was the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. I know that they've been very active working with the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. There's copious web pages, though, that would be able to lay out both the legal precedent and the specifics of the case if you just type in Exxon Valdez lawsuit and look for plaintiff information, would be my guess.
I do have some good news for David, though. What's and this is very good news. When she was having her, when she was in front of the Senate being confirmed, Lisa Jackson, who was going to be Barack Obama's head of the EPA,
mm-hmm.
After 8 years of forgetting what the P stands for, bingo, she remembered it means protection.
Yay!
And when she was talking last week about what she planned to do as head of the EPA, she sat in front of the Senate and she said one of her first things, she's hitting the ground running. She is not taking time to decorate her office or to find out where the best nail salons near the EPA headquarters are. Or to wait for her letterhead. Her first order of business is going to be to work on this coal ash problem.
Excellent.
And she has said, the EPA decided to set a national standard for these coal plants to get rid of this waste because it's nasty.
Yeah.
You know, as David was just saying, it's got arsenic, it's got heavy metals, it's really, really bad,
yeah.
especially for local water. And so she had pointed out that the EPA set these national standards back in 2000, but when the new administration came in 2001, they just decided to sit on it.
Yeah.
So she is, A, going to bring back these national standards and guidelines for how this stuff should be disposed.
Excellent.
B, she is personally sending teams to each and every of the hundreds of coal ash disposal sites at power plants all over the country to see how they're doing, how they're disposing of their ash, and what would happen in case of an emergency.
I have a feeling they're going to be very nastily surprised when they get done with that.
I'm afraid that they will.
Investigation there, yeah.
And see, she's looking at, there were actually two spills recently. There was the one in Tennessee that got a lot of press, but there was also one in Alabama. That just happened maybe 3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
And it wasn't quite as large, but it did show that a lot of these plants have not been updated, they are not being taken care of properly, et cetera, et cetera.
It's something that's been endemic, and it's not throughout the Bush administration, and it's not just with maintenance at the coal facilities. We've seen it up here at the North Slope. We had this spill last week, or at around Christmas time.
Yep.
We've had, you know, the big spills that BP had a couple of years ago. And why are these spills happening? Because the pipelines aren't being maintained. The holding facilities aren't being maintained. Is it because these people don't have the cash to maintain these? Absolutely not. They're taking all of their profits and they're putting it in their bank accounts. They're sending it out to their profit holders, their shareholders, and the money that is supposed to go back into maintenance and remediation of degraded facilities is not getting taken care of. The spill that we reported on last week that happened around Christmas time, that pipe, that corroded pipe, hadn't been examined since the year 2000. 2000.
2000.
It, utterly ridiculous. Absolutely inexcusable. These people were getting $147 a barrel for oil last year. Exxon made how many billions of dollars in one quarter alone in the second and third quarters, and they didn't bother to, you know, put this money back into maintenance?
Well, David, thanks for calling 569-1080-1080-KUDO. I hope that answered your question. And who knows, maybe we don't have to sue. Maybe Lisa Erin Brockovich Jackson is going to take control once she hits the EPA. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you some of the other things that Barack Obama and his new staff have promised to do in the first, not 100 days, but 100 hours. Yeah. You're talking to Christy and Kathy on Cutting Edge 1080 KUTO. We'll be right back.
This is News Talk 1080, KUDO Anchorage, Alaska's progressive voice.